In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I want to begin with an apology today. The heat is not working, and it's cold. I apologize for that. Getting on now to more important matters. We were given today two gospel readings. One about the calling of Matthew, the tax collector, who was called to become one of the 12, and who later wrote one of the Gospels. And the second was that parable of the Good Samaritan, a parable that we're all very familiar with. When we think about this phrase, the Good Samaritan, we see it even in our secular society. We see how Christ's teaching has influenced the world. There are hospitals named after the Good Samaritan. There are laws named after the Good Samaritan, societies. Even in our colloquialisms, we use this term, Good Samaritan, even if we're not Christian. This has become something that's entered into our culture, entered into our life, the very fabric of our society, this idea of the Good Samaritan. We'll speak a little bit about that today. This is an important teaching because the Lord gives us all of his teaching, and very specifically this teaching, so that we might dwell in community, so that we might know who our neighbor is, and so that we might act properly towards our neighbor. This is a teaching which the world hasn't really grasped fully yet. They haven't come to terms with what it means to truly be a Good Samaritan, even though we use the term all the time. When we look at the historical context in which this parable is given, we see the Lord speaking to his disciples, speaking to the crowds, speaking to the Pharisees. And in this particular case, this teaching was given in the response to a lawyer who tested it, who was challenging the Lord's teaching. But if we look a little bit previous to this, we see right before this, the Lord had sent out his disciples into the towns and the villages. He sent out the 70, two by two, to preach the gospel, to offer healing to the people. And previous to this, we see the Lord traveling with his disciples, and they're on their way from Galilee, on their way to Jerusalem, and they're passing through Samaria. And the Samaritans don't receive the Lord and his disciples. And the disciples say to the Lord, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume these people that aren't receiving you? Just as Elias did? Do you want us to command fire to come down?" And the Lord has to rebuke his disciples, because the disciples didn't understand who their neighbors were. They didn't yet have this wonderful teaching of the Good Samaritan. So this parable is given to the lawyer, it's given to the disciples, it's given to the crowd, it's given to the whole human race, so that we might learn who our neighbor is. Today's understanding of our neighbor is often very polarized. Much of today's conversation, society, is very polarized. We have arguments between the left and the right, modernists and the conservatives. We have kind of this great tug of war between opposing camps, these arguments, these divisions. And the Lord has come that he might fix all of this, that he might unite all into one with his Heavenly Father through his ministry and through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that he might unite all of the human race together. So there's no longer Jew or Gentile. There's no longer Pharisee or sinner. There's no longer male nor female, that all are one. I want to share with you a caricature of the opposing political views of our day with regard to ministering to those in need. The parable of the Good Samaritan is about just that, ministering to those in need. For the caricature, I'm going to rely on two groups in society, the far left and the far right. And I'm going to present to you a critique, and this is meant to be a little bit humorous, so don't take this too seriously. But a critique from the far left of the far right and the far right of the far left with regard to this parable of the Good Samaritan. First, the view of the far left, how they see the far right. The Good Samaritan is not walking on the road, but he's flying over in his personal jet. And on the jet, he's got a team of his own physicians and specialists to minister to his every need. Whatever ill he might have, he's got a team for that. And he's got on that jet loads of food and supplies, all the medicine that he might need, all of the food and drink that he might need. He's got it all there. And all he has to do is press a button, and all those doctors will parachute out, and all that food and those medical supplies will drop down. And he himself could even join them and help this poor individual fellow. But he doesn't. And he continues on keeping everything for himself. This is, again, the critique, caricature of the far left and how they see the far right. Now let's reverse it. We look at the far right and their caricature of the far left. Good Samaritan comes with his animal. He's traveling along the road. But he can't help this poor fellow because he's already picked up 10 people and they're mounted on his animal. And the problem is half of them are healthy. And his animal is breaking down and he's not even able to make it to the inn. Likewise, of his 2 denarii, one of them has lost the taxes. And the other one is decreasing in value to the point that it's worthless. So he can't do anything for this guy. Now, again, these are caricatures. There's some humor there. But if you think about these viewpoints, they do exist to some degree. Maybe not in any of us, but we do know that there are people who do kind of have these viewpoints. And there's a great struggle over which viewpoint is going to win. And we kind of end up somewhere in the middle. Right? America is this hybrid of the liberal and the conservative viewpoints. Right, the free market capitalists and the communists were kind of in this hybrid system, this tug of war, and nobody really wins out. Some win for time, and then the others, pendulum swings back, and they win a little bit, and we go back and forth, and we're fighting and we're bickering. No one's these true extremes, but we're somewhere in the middle. And this illustrates our division and our stagnation, that we're not able to make any progress. People are suffering, and we're not able to meet the challenges that are before us because of our divisions. You know, we think about this argument between the left and the right. You can see it on a horizontal plane. That's this image of the tug of war. One on this side, one on that side. But as Christians, we don't look at things on the horizontal plane. We look at things on the vertical plane. A different perspective. It's not about earthly arguments and earthly perspectives. It's about heavenly teaching, divine revelation. It's about Christ lifting us up, not pulling us right or pulling us left, pulling us up out of Hades, even from this earth. St. Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, and we read his epistle today, speaks about how Christ gives us grace that he might elevate us to sit in the heavenly places, so that we might enter into a new kingdom, not of this world, have a whole different type of existence. You know, this mission of the church is very important for us to understand because it is the mission of the church not just to uplift society, but to uplift each and every one of us. We all have our leanings. We're all somewhat engaged. We have to be living under a rock not to be engaged in the politics to some degree, where we might identify ourselves more as liberals or conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, Independents. Maybe we're in the center of the tug of war trying to pull both parties together. But what we really have to focus on is being lifted up. Not so much politics, but our relationship to God, our growth in virtue. But this is the call of the church. This is the call of each and every one of us as Christians. Be engaged in that upward ascent. When we look at the characters in this parable, we see the Good Samaritan, we see the fellow who was beaten by thieves. The thieves are mentioned indirectly. We see the priest and the Levite. And we see outward circumstances of the parable. But the sickness and the health and the good and the evil are not just seen in the outward circumstances. They're seen in the inward disposition. The thieves certainly had a bad inner disposition, but so did the priest and the Levite. And they walked past. They didn't help. What about the Good Samaritan? He had a good inner disposition, and he acted upon it. The sickness and the health, and the good and the evil, seen in the inward disposition and our actions. I want to share 2 final things to consider. When we look at our disposition and our actions, we have challenges. We have problems before us in our polarization. And sometimes those challenges and those problems are inverses of one another. You know, when we look at the priest and the Levite, and especially the thieves, we see a lack of concern for the neighbor, for the other. A lack of concern. The disease of self-absorption, this disease of selfishness in the thieves, in the priests, and in the Levite. And we can also see the potential challenge of falling off in the other way, the inverse of this. And what would that be? That would be the case of someone who falls into self-absorption, not because of their concern for all of their good things in life, but because of their concern for all of the evil things in life. We can fall into self-pity. We can be absorbed only by our difficult finances, by our bad health, by the challenges that we face in our life. So much to the point that we don't see others, that we don't engage with the other. You know, we live in America, which is unlike most other civilizations. Even our poor are wealthy, in a sense. Think about this. Even the poorest among us, how did we get here today? By some kind of vehicle, right? Everyone's got a cell phone. We've got electricity. Our heat's not working, but we've got electricity. We've got food. We've got clothing. Even the poor people today, most of them have not only these normal base necessities of life, but they have more than this. And if you look elsewhere across the world, they don't have even the base necessities sometimes. That our poverty is not like others' poverty. And yet in America, we are diseased with two illnesses. This, the selfishness of wealth and greed, and we're diseased by self-pity. And these two things corrupt our society, the two polar opposites. What we need to do as Christians is identify these temptations for ourselves. What we need to do as a church is identify these temptations for society so that we can meet them and so that we can be united in our ascent from vice to virtue, from division to union, from earth to heaven, because our character is being formed. We're moving from being a caricature to an authentic human being. This is what Christ offers to us in this parable of the Good Samaritan. This is what we're called to receive, to hear this teaching, to learn about what it is to be truly human, and to care for our neighbor, to overcome all those temptations, and to love our neighbor. The Lord says, after he finishes the parable, he said to the disciples, to the crowds, to the Pharisees, and to us, he says, go and do likewise. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to you.